Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will discuss the different types of leadership and events which marked the different chancellors in Germany in the late 1920s. Between 1929 to January 1933, four different men held the position of German Chancellor. Hermann Müller served from June 1928 until March 1930. Heinrich Brüning served from March 1930 to May 1932. Franz von Papen served from June 1932 to November 1932. And finally, Kurt von Schleser served from December 1932 until January 1933. Beginning first with Hermann Müller. Müller was a Social Democrat from the SPD, and he led the government for almost 2 years. Müller's time as Chancellor involved huge difficulties, largely caused by the global economic crisis, the Depression. He oversaw the implementation of the Young Plan, but he faced President Hindenburg trying to replace him. Müller struggled to get his coalition to agree on a variety of actions, including welfare spending. He ultimately resigned after President Hindenburg refused to use Article 48 powers to support him. Müller led a five-party coalition government, and he was the last chancellor to have a working majority in the Reichstag before the Nazis took power. After Müller's removal from power, Heinrich Brüning became chancellor in March 1930. Brüning came from the German Centre Party, and he was head of two separate minority coalition governments. The first had six parties as part of the government, and the second had five. Brüning's government was centre-right, and it included most ministers from Müller's government, except the SPD. Brüning faced problems very similar to Müller. He was unable to get his finance bill agreed by the Reichstag, but he did this time manage to persuade President Hindenburg to enforce his finance bill using Article 48. The use of Article 48 caused outrage in the Reichstag, who demanded that this decision be reversed. They saw it as ultimately a step towards the end of democracy if their wishes were simply to be overruled. However, instead Brüning persuaded Hindenburg that he should call new elections, because the Chancellor believed that this would result in support for his policies and would make it easier for him to govern. The September 1930 Reichstag elections had the exact opposite effect that Brüning intended. The Nazis and the Communists both increased their representation, the Nazis in particular. This made it impossible for Brüning to govern unless he was to make regular use of presidential decrees. Brüning's economic policy was focused on reducing spending to overcome Germany's crisis. Brüning oversaw the cuts in government spending, such as civil service wages, and he also introduced tax rises. He eventually started a programme of public works to hire more workers after reparations were suspended. Brüning's foreign policy was much more aggressive than that of Stresemann's. He arranged for reparation payments to be suspended because of the Depression, and he also demanded changes to the disarmament section of the Versailles Treaty, although no firm action actually took place. Brüning, however, did refuse to work with the Nazis, and in 1932 he banned the Nazi paramilitary group, the SA. Brüning's plans to redistribute spare land to unemployed workers was ultimately what brought him down. This plan was opposed by Prussian Junkers and other members of the German elite. And as a result, when Hindenburg refused to back Brüning, he resigned in May 1932. Some historians defend Brüning, and they see him as the last defender of German democracy, saying that there was no alternative to his policies. Brüning himself claimed in his biography, which was published in the 1970s, that he was only trying to rebuild Germany's greatness and also restore the monarchy. Others, however, criticised Brüning, describing him as being Weimar Germany's undertaker. They claimed that Brüning used the economic crisis to achieve his own goals, such as ending reparations and social welfare. And he also introduced the concept of regular governance by decree, which was a huge help to Hitler once he took power. After Brüning's removal, Franz von Papen became the Chancellor. Von Papen was an inexperienced politician, but nonetheless he was appointed to Germany's top political job in June 1932. Originally, when becoming Chancellor, he was a member of the Centre Party, but eventually became an independent. Papen was appointed due to Kurt von Schleicher persuading President Hindenburg to do so. Schleicher then served as a prominent role as Defence Minister in Papen's cabinet. His government did not include any members of the Reichstag and instead was drawn simply from members of Germany's elite, again further undermining democracy. Papen's actions in government included trying to win Nazi support. He lifted the ban on the SA, and in July 1932, Papen launched a coup against the centre-left government of Prussia, using Article 48 powers to take it under federal control. This led to riots taking place in Berlin between the communists and the Nazi SA. Ongoing divisions in the Reichstag, and also the demands of Hitler, led Papen and then Hindenburg to agree to hold early federal elections. In July 1932, the communists and the Nazis again saw huge gains. Combined, they had more than half of the seats in the Reichstag, and the Nazis themselves were the biggest party with 37%. As a result of this success, Hitler demanded that he be made Chancellor, but which was refused at the time. After the elections, Papen found it impossible to run Germany. In September 1932, the Reichstag passed a vote of no confidence in Papen. As a result of this, the Reichstag was dissolved. President Hindenburg considered not having new elections, but eventually he changed his mind, as he feared civil war otherwise. In November 1932, elections saw a slight fall in support for the Nazis to 33%, but they still remained the largest party in the Reichstag. The communists also saw a slight increase in their backing. Several elite members of Germany demanded that Hindenburg make Hitler the Chancellor. Hitler, however, could not get a Reichstag majority, so the president refused to do this. Papen then proposed scrapping the Reichstag and using the army to control the country. However, Hindenburg again feared this would lead to civil war. In November 1932, Papen was forced to resign as Chancellor, and he was replaced by Schleicher. Schleicher himself, although serving as a defence minister under Papen, persuaded President Hindenburg not to support him anymore. Kurt von Schleicher had served as an army general and was also a defence minister in Papen's government. He had had a prominent role in helping set up the Freikorps. Schleicher was appointed Chancellor by President Hindenburg in December 1932. Papen had hoped that Hindenburg would reappoint him, and he was very angry at Schleicher, believing that he had been betrayed. As a result of this, Papen was involved in various attempts to undermine Schleicher's time as Chancellor, as he sought revenge for his own problems. Schleicher believed that the real danger which Germany faced was communism. As such, he was supportive of the Nazis. Schleicher aimed to gain Nazis' backing, and he made the Nazi, Gregor Strasser, his vice-chancellor. Hitler ultimately undermined Strasser within the Nazi party, however, as he feared rival as leader. As Chancellor, Schleicher implemented numerous policies, including continuing Brüning's land plans, which had in fact seen Brüning removed from power. Schleicher also introduced a public works program that would ultimately be quite successful in creating 2 million jobs. However, most of these jobs would not come to fruition until into 1933, and as a result, it was Hitler gained credit for this. Schleicher had been close friends with Oskar Hindenburg, the son of the president. This had given Schleicher good access to the president. However, the two men had a falling out. Some people suggest it was because of a joke, and this meant that Schleicher's access to and influence over the president was lost. Papen's plans to hurt Schleicher now began to take effect. Papen began to push Hindenburg to dismiss the Chancellor from his post. In order to stay in power, Schleicher tried to persuade President Hindenburg to back an authoritarian government, which would involve ruling by decree only and ignoring the Reichstag. The military, however, feared that an authoritarian government headed by Schleicher would not succeed, and as a result they withdrew their backing for him. There were even rumours spread that Schleicher planned a putsch against the president to take complete control of Germany. As a result, Hindenburg dismissed Schleicher and in January 1933 appointed Hitler as Chancellor.